This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we are 5 days after the event, still being dealt a bad hand. Hadn't sent us a good card yet. And David Hammer, WWL TV investigative reporter, has been giving us up front and center a lot of information about what he's been able to find out about this event. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Noel.
So, David, what's the latest?
Well, you know, I've been focusing mostly on trying to figure out what caused this initially. I can tell you that just from following my colleagues' reporting on the more immediate concerns about these cranes and the stability of the structure, you know, we've moved to the recovery stage of this as opposed to rescue. They've determined that the three individuals who were trapped that died, they've recovered. They recovered a body on Sunday, and then there's these two additional bodies of the deceased. And now they've got to start focusing on and they've had engineers in there trying to figure out the best way to stabilize the structure so there's not any further collapse, or at least not in a way that they aren't controlling. So they're trying to figure out if they can do demolition that's with controlled explosions. But the biggest problem is that they've got these huge cranes that are sticking up several hundred feet in the air that actually were inside the structure. They were basically in the elevator shafts going up. And then when the structure crumbled around them out toward the Rampart Street side, it raised all kinds of concerns because one of them was bent several inches and is listing. And, you know, if there wasn't this structural integrity issue for the building, they would be able to withstand some kind of high winds or whatever from weather. But given the situation that we have here, they may not be able to withstand those kinds of winds now that they're damaged. So those are the most immediate concerns.
Yeah. As you've been trying to delve into the details of causation, we had a caller earlier that brought up a lot of good questions. Was there an appointed safety coordinator, and was he on site that day, and things of that nature? Have you been able to determine any of those or validate any of those facts?
I haven't been able to determine exactly who was on site safety-wise that day. I know that OSHA was there. They had representatives there during the course of the work, but they didn't have their investigators there until after the accident, but they were there that same day of the accident. You know, in terms of whether proper processes were being followed is really what I'm trying to delve into by talking to these workers who were there, and some of whom were expressing concerns going back several months about operations, about how their work was matching up with the plans, changes in the plans that they expressed concerns about. But as I pointed out in my story yesterday, you know, construction workers who deal with certain parts of the project, whether it's ironwork, crane operation, what have you, don't necessarily know details of engineering, and they are not necessarily privy to the latest plans and what processes were done to calculate whether this was a safe operation, whether this was the appropriate specs for them to be building for. So some of them have very strong opinions about whether the type of corrugated metal pan flooring that they used was appropriate, or whether they had enough space between, or whether they had too much space between the support beams. But some of those are not necessarily the engineering standards. So that's what I'm trying to figure out before we put anything on you know, our reports are online that is just speculation. That's why, you know, when we were able to confirm that we had workers in there that were expressing concerns, that's important news to relate. But I tried to make sure that we also had the point from a licensed civil engineer and licensed structural engineer who says, you know, that all has to be compared with the plans
right.
to be sure that, you know, what's appropriate and what isn't.
David, do we know whether or not any variances were filed and whether those would be public record, I would imagine?
Yeah, well, the first variance that was filed and was approved by the city council way back in 2011, I should say, was actually to build this building higher than what the zoning for that French Quarter district allows. So from the get-go, this was a project that was going outside of the norms for the area. There were several changes that we've documented and shown in the plans that were filed with the city. But the city plans that are posted on the website, on the One Stop, and what has been reviewed and actually received permits is not necessarily the most up-to-date plans. So there are changes that can be made within the permitted levels and not necessarily get reviewed by safety and permits inspectors before they're implemented. One of the late changes, for instance, was to add a rooftop pool on the 18th floor, which had not yet been installed. They installed a pool on the 9th floor on Thursday. There's a 9th floor deck, and that part did not collapse. But there were plans to put a rooftop pool also on the 18th floor at the section that did collapse, but it hadn't been done yet. But those are the types of things where there were changes to the plans, and I've seen some documents showing changes to the plans with the cantilevered balcony structure out over North Rampart Street. And so, you know, we have to take a very careful look at that, and I think some of these lawsuits are really going to focus in on that. Because there's also some very interesting legal issues here going forward.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is, I don't know how long it's going to take before it unwinds. Do you know whether or not there were any city inspector reports done that you would expect to see during the course of a construction project like this?
Yeah, there were inspections. There's actually photographs filed from deck inspections that were done. We've used some of those in our reports that are available on the city's one-stop website. There were letters back and forth between the Citadel Builders, the prime contractor, and the city safety and permits office. There were actually some things involving the foundation where they added additional pilings. It appears from everybody I've spoken to engineering-wise that the foundation on the concrete structure, the first 8 floors, is solid and has nothing to do with this collapse. But there were some changes that went through safety and permits and where there were letters back and forth. The other thing to keep in mind is that safety and permits found them in violation, as did the Historic District Landmarks Commission, found them in violation early on in the process before the demolition because permits weren't paid for and there was actually several thousand dollars in fines that were hanging over this project. This all goes back to the developers. This is before it was a Hard Rock Hotel project. The developers, the Kalis companies were an entity that I investigated back in 2012, and my investigation regarding their affiliated companies' work on Hurricane Katrina recovery programs found that they were siphoning money off and billing state programs for work they were doing on private work, including a mansion for the owner's 2 sons. So there's a troubled past here with these developers, but that's not doesn't necessarily mean that they or any of their financial issues had any play or any bearing on this incident.
Now, we understand that the mayor and the governor, John Bel Edwards, will have a press conference today at 2 o'clock. Any idea what
right.
we can expect to hear from them?
Well, I think they're going to be focusing on the more immediate concerns, about the structural integrity, the cranes, and the listing of the what they call the East Crane, which is the one that's further away from Canal Street, although there's damage to both cranes and concerns about the stability of both of them. I think they're going to be focused on that. As the mayor has addressed, they want to also do this in a very a way that is keeps in mind the families and the need to recover these recover the bodies of the deceased workers. But, you know, with this tropical system brewing and a increasing percentage that will be affected by high winds as early as tomorrow, I think that's going to be their main focus.
Yeah, I mean, I said it leading into you, they have not been dealt a good card yet. I mean, it just seems like, and someone called this a pretty unique mess, and I can't think of a better way to describe it. How about you?
Well, yeah, I think they were also making the point that, you know, we've seen the comparisons to Oklahoma City with the bombing in 1995 and the World Trade Center, of course, with the terrorist attacks in 2001, and the challenges that they faced with the rubble after those incidents, but they were not nearly as tightly packed. There wasn't nearly as many issues with surrounding businesses trying to keep going, things like that, that they had to deal with. They talked about this garage there on Iberville across the street there, where, you know, it's not a question of saving people's property. It's a question of getting in touch with the owners of those vehicles and getting firefighters in there to remove them, because they could be they could cause explosions if there's.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, because they got
full of gas. Yeah, geez.
Yeah.
I've always parked in that garage on the river side of that structure when I'm going to the Sanger or something down there. It's a covered garage. There's two of them there, and I'm sure they're in that zone too, where you can't get to the car.
Right, absolutely. I think that the danger, though, is more on the other side, because the rampart side is where
the crane is leaning. Right,
the crane is leaning, and the building is the most unstable in terms of the parts that have collapsed up on the upper nine floors.
Yeah. Well, David, as always, the reporting thus far by WWL TV has been incredible. As you know, the pictures, the views, everything to go along with that. We really appreciate the effort, and we appreciate your reports thus far.
Thanks, Noel. And this, you know, the issue of assigning blame and figuring out what went wrong is going to be a long one, as we've seen with other major incidents like the BP Deepwater Horizon incident. But it's one that will stay on, and we're going to try to get the information out before it gets buried.
All righty. That's David Hammer, WWL TV investigative reporter. We appreciate your time and always your insight.
Thanks, Noel.
We'll be right back. Stay with us, 260-1870 or text 870-870. This is Noel on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.